From RadioSt.Pete.com, coronavirus coverage, another daily briefing from the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, recorded a short time earlier.
Transportation here in Florida, Kevin Tebow. We have an announcement related to that. First, just wanted to give an update about the efforts throughout the state of Florida. Florida has now received test results from over 173,000 individuals. So that's a ratio of about one in every 125 Floridians. Once we hit 215,000 tests, which we think we will later this week, that'll be one test result for every 100 Floridians. And that is a pretty good ratio. South Korea was viewed as leading the way on testing, and they had reached one of every 200 individuals. So we're going to continue those efforts. Yesterday, we announced that the three federal sites, Jacksonville, Orange County Convention Center, and Hard Rock Stadium in Miami-Dade, would continue in operation for drive-through testing. The feds had agreed to source it through yesterday. We believe it's important to keep it going. We are going to continue to receive support from the federal government, which we appreciate. But what we're doing differently is instead of capping how many people could go through, because they were only doing 250 a day in Orlando, for example, because of the federal testing contract, we're using Florida's relationship with Quest and with LabCorp. We're going to expand the number of people who can go through, but also the criteria of people who can go through. We've typically focused on people that have coronavirus symptoms and who are 65 and older. Obviously, they're the highest risk group from this, so that makes sense. And then we would focus on first responders and healthcare workers. We are still obviously doing the first responders and the healthcare workers, any 65 and older with symptoms, of course, but we're expanding it beyond that so that if anyone out there has the coronavirus symptoms, things like a fever, a cough, shortness of breath, aches, you can come and get tested in these three drive-through sites. We think that that's important because we're trying to figure out how this is being spread by people who don't necessarily are at risk of being hospitalized for it. So that's going to be good. We're also going to go beyond that of just with people with symptoms and say if you're somebody, even if you're not experiencing symptoms, but you've had close sustained contact with somebody who has recently tested positive for coronavirus, you can then come through and get tested as well. There's a whole debate about who is an asymptomatic carrier, how those individuals may be spreading the disease. And so we think that having folks who've had close repeated contact with someone who's tested positive, even if they've not developed any major symptoms, that giving them the opportunity to get tested makes sense. We've ordered the Florida Department of Health the FDA-approved serology test, which will test to see who has antibodies. We don't know how many people that would be, what percentage. There's studies going on right now. There have been some studies in Europe that suggest the number of people who have the antibodies far outseed the number of people who've actually tested positive for coronavirus in those countries. Stanford University is doing a study. I think they're going to have results coming up this week about how that has the antibodies in Northern California. So we think having the serology test, having access to that, will be really important because there may be people who had an illness in February, March, didn't go to the doctor for it, and maybe they think, hey, maybe I had it, you do it, and then you can also spot check and see a representative sample how many people in our society have the antibodies. That is FDA approved, and there's a number of these tests out there. The problem is some of the tests don't distinguish between different coronaviruses. I mean, the common cold is caused by a strain of coronavirus. So the FDA approved test specifically looks at the antibodies for COVID-19, which is obviously what we're concerned about. So that has been ordered. It is manufactured in China. What else is new? Hopefully we'll be changing that as a country very soon. And so we're trying to get that to be delivered here as soon as possible. But beyond that, We have the National Guard and some of these strike teams doing the spot checking and surveillance testing at nursing homes. So the Guard has tested a number of folks down in South Florida affiliated with nursing homes. Our partnership with UF Shands involves doing some spot testing in these facilities, both with staff and with residents. We want to continue to do that, given that's the most high-risk population. And so I really appreciate the Guard getting that going. I appreciate UF Shands getting it going as well. I think that that's going to be really, really important. We have a number of the rapid tests that I've been mentioning. A lot of the hospitals now have it. Other hospitals, we helped get, and they helped get by themselves in some cases, the Cepheid test, which is a 45-minute test, which is still rapid compared to waiting 48 hours for LabCorp or Quest. And then you have the Abbott Labs test, which is a 5-minute result. So those are being out. I'd say the machines, we're going to send some of the machines the state of Florida has to some hospitals who don't have it. You do need the cartridges, and so those are being sent on a rolling basis. So hospital systems are getting, I think, about 1,900 a week from Abbott Labs, and they're going to continue to do it. Unfortunately, Florida, we were only given a relatively small amount number of cartridges right now, so we want to continue to get that. Each one is an individual test that can be done in 5 minutes. So that's a really, really important thing. So those are going to be distributed throughout the state of Florida, and we obviously will use some for the Department of Health as well, particularly for some of the high-risk areas. Travel update, we've screened 17,638 travelers by both air and car from high-risk areas like New York City and New Orleans. I want to thank everyone that's been involved with that. And in terms of the hospitals and the hospitalizations, we're looking at statewide 43% availability throughout the state of Florida, Miami-Dade 42%, Broward 41%, Palm Beach 46%, Hillsborough 38%, Orange 43%, and Duval 43%. If you look at how this is affecting Florida, we have about 60% of the cases are in the three southeastern Florida counties, Palm Beach, Broward, Miami-Dade. More than 60% of the hospitalizations are in those three counties as well. And so if you're looking at it's not a uniform picture throughout the state of Florida. You know, we were just in Jacksonville yesterday with the testing center. I think that their numbers have looked very stable, very low positive test rate, even with people with symptoms. And then obviously, Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach, they have the most positive tests, the most hospitalizations, and unfortunately, the most fatalities. So we're going to continue to do, but I think a lot of people are doing a lot of great things throughout the state of Florida. So we just ask that people keep doing what they're doing, and let's beat this thing as best we can. But I really it's been tough for people, and I really appreciate all people have pitched in, have done their part, and I think it's really making a difference. Today, I'm happy though to make an announcement. I announced recently that given we are in this pause period, you look on the roads, there's not a lot of traffic, that gave us an opportunity to make some progress on key projects, infrastructure projects. You can close more lanes, you can have people work longer, and you can really make progress so that when we do come back economically, we're going to be able to have better infrastructure. And so Kevin is already sent people. We've already been working on that. People are there doing their things in different parts of the state. One of the projects, though, that I kept asking about was this I-4 project, because if you've ever traveled that way in I-4, there's been a long time coming in terms of the construction there. Can be very congested at times. Given that the traffic has gone down so much, I've asked him to work with the private contractors and speed up the I-4 Ultimate project in Orlando. And I'm pleased to announce today that the Secretary and the Florida Department of Transportation will be doing just that. Working with the public-private concessionaire, FDOT has identified several segments of the I-4 Ultimate that they will accelerate by between 1 and 2 months. As many of you know, this is kind of the central thoroughfare in Central Florida. It's in desperate need of significant improvement, and this project is a $2.3 billion project that involves reconstructing 21 miles of the interstate in both Orange and Seminole counties. And so the segments of the project we are accelerating include large portions of westbound I-4, beginning at the State Road 434 interchange in Longwood, extending through downtown Orlando, and parts of the State Road 408 interchange, which is the most heavily traveled interchange within the I-4 Ultimate Project. Primary goal of the expedited construction effort is to focus resources to complete the main travel lanes throughout the downtown corridor, which will help facilitate new connections to State Road 408 and other major access points. To accomplish this shortened timeline, the contractor will increase daytime operations by closing additional lanes along various segments of the highway and implementing short-time road closures on some less traveled roads. This will increase overall productivity with minimal conflicts and improve overall safety within the corridor. And importantly, none of these changes will increase the cost to the Florida taxpayer. Very aware of the importance that I-4 plays in the moving of people and goods through the region, and I'm looking forward to this project being completed as soon as possible. I have the secretary here. He's got some great billboards. I want him to be able to explain in detail what they're doing, but bottom line is we should take advantage of this pause. There's a lot of things that people aren't able to go to work. A lot of people, kids aren't going to school, and so there's a lot of negatives involved. The fact that we don't have as many people on the roads, let's take advantage of that and try to make some progress. And that's exactly what Kevin's doing. So, Kevin, can you explain in further detail what's going to be done?
Sure. So thank you, Governor, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to do this. As the Governor mentioned, he challenged us a week or so ago to take advantage of the reduced traffic we see statewide on a lot of our major thoroughfares. And clearly one of the things that we were focusing on was trying to get where the traffic is has the most congestion, and when we have the ability to really move the needle and make the difference in getting that construction completed. You'll see here on this one graphic that's posted, and it's also behind the governor. This just shows you the map of the different segments here. As the governor mentioned, the focus area here is to try to get the westbound general lanes to be in their ultimate configuration or their final configuration. So we're focusing our efforts from on the north end there at State Road 434.
Didn't press the button, sorry. That's okay. And that sounds a lot better, Helen. Thank you. So again, we're focusing on trying to relieve construction and move the construction forward, while at the same time trying to get this work completed in advance opportunity. So we're starting here with the piece from 434. We're going to be moving the lanes over, as shown in the graphic that's actually right behind me. One of the things that we're looking to do is move the traffic over. So as we go to the next slide.
Okay.
So the goal here is to try to move the lanes into the ultimate westbound configuration. So in this graphic here, you can see in green, that is where the ultimate lanes are going to be for I-4, the westbound lanes heading towards Tampa. Why do we want to focus on that? Because the biggest thing that we want to do is relieve the biggest bottleneck, as the governor mentioned before, that we have in this corridor, and that is the piece over there at the 408 interchange. And so in order for us to be able to get there and get to the 408 interchange, what we need to do is move that traffic over to the ultimate configuration. So what we'll be doing here is focusing those movements over to those ultimate, so that these free flow ramps that can connect I-4 to the 408 here in downtown Orlando can then open. So the next slide. So one of the things that we first have to do is move traffic over. Today, traffic that's westbound on I-4 is in what is in the red lanes, and we want to move them over into the green. So we'll be building that little switch over to move them over into the ultimate west lane configuration. As you can see here, although these aerial photographs are about a few weeks old, you know, there's been a lot of progress being made in the corridor. They've already completed a lot of the bridge work that's over these different crossroads. And so we make this crossover, then we can move that traffic over again. This is just north of the interchange. And so this will allow free flow connection then to those ramps that we mentioned earlier. Next slide. One of the other things that we're looking to do is take advantage of even the traffic on some of the crossroads. This is State Road 50. Many of you are very familiar if you've been down in Orlando, just north of downtown. Again, not only are we seeing reduced traffic on the interstate, but we're seeing reduced traffic on a lot of other state roads. In the past, as we have done some improvements, like, for example, the city of Orlando put in that pedestrian bridge you see to the right where that number 50 actually is placed on this map, they actually put in a lane closure that worked quite well. They closed down State Road 50 and diverted traffic down Huey and Orange Avenue to get people down to where they need to go. We'll be using that same proven detour route to close this segment on the weekends, and only on the weekends, of State Road 50 so that that bridge you see there, it will be complete. And again, this helps the contractor get the work done quickly. He doesn't have to worry about when he's pouring concrete on the bridge deck, working with any of the traffic below hand. And again, it speeds up the overall construction project. In many cases, even to put in the beams and so on, when an activity could be done in 2 days, which would actually take more than like 9 days. So they save time by getting this done and moving the traffic around. Next. One of the things that I mentioned earlier, too, is, you know, starting up at 434 on the north end, this is in Longwood. So we want to move the traffic so we can get it over into its ultimate configuration, which is on the left side of this page. So we're going to temporarily close the on-ramp from 434 onto westbound I-4 and direct traffic down Douglas Avenue, and they can then get on the interstate just a mile or so down the road at 436. Again, the traffic on Douglas and on 434 and others are low enough that it shouldn't be a problem to be able to do this. We're going to continue to monitor the traffic on all these different corridors to make sure that we don't have any issues, but we're very confident by doing this then get the contractor working in this area without any conflict.
What would the volume of traffic on like I-4 like today compared to 2 months ago?
In each, well over 100,000 cars a day. So that's what we usually deal with, 100, 120,000, depending on the segment. And so now you're dealing with volumes that are probably 40,000.
Yeah.
So now they're able to get some of this work done. Okay, next slide.
Oh, that it?
That's it. And so ultimately what we're doing is we're adding lane closures, additional lane closures in the actual through lanes themselves and these other different improvements to be able to get this work done and speed it up again from 1 to 2 months.
Well, I want to thank the secretary. When we entered this period, we saw the economic activity slow down dramatically. You could see the traffic slowing down dramatically on our roadways, and we were just thinking, how can we take advantage of this to help the people of Florida and the infrastructure? Just given how difficult that can be, this gives us an opportunity to do more. So I think their plan is really thoughtful. I think it's going to make a big difference. And I know, talking with people in Central Florida, they want to see this I-4 Ultimate project completed as soon as possible. So this really gives us an ability to make significant headway over the next many weeks, which I think is a really good thing. So I want to thank Kevin and his team for their hard work. And I think that this is taking advantage of an opportunity, and I think we'll be better for it. With that, I can take a couple questions.
Governor, on the Department of Health's website, listing the number of new cases each day, today is the seventh day in a row that they've been below the April 3rd peak. Is that due to a testing anomaly, or is it a rate of hope, or a little of both?
So one, I think if you look, there have been a lot of tests continue to be done. So obviously, if you all of a sudden saw a lot less cases, but there were a lot less tests, then you'd have to say, okay, well, but we've continued to test at a high rate, and so I think that that's a great thing. And if you look around the state, what I would say is you're certainly not seeing exponential growth in many of the, even in Miami, it's more linear as you increase the testing. So I just think people can just keep doing what they're doing. And I think we're making tremendous progress, but we're going to continue to test a lot. If you look around the country, there's states, a number of states that have more cases than us that are much smaller and that have way less overall tests than we've done. I believe in having really expansive testing. That means you're picking cases and you're identifying cases that if you tested half as much, you just wouldn't identify as many. But I think it's better to have as broad-based testing as possible because it gives you the baseline to be able to see how these things are going. I think many are doing a great job. I mean, we had a case in Suwannee County where you have, I think, 40 staff members were infected, and so there was an outbreak. It did infect some of the residents. And if you're not using the PPE, if you're not following the restrictions and regulations that ACA has put in, you're going to put some of these residents at risk. So I think most of them throughout Florida have been on really heightened alert. Of course, you know, they have to be guarding against infections all the time, because even if you didn't have a coronavirus, if you have patients who are elderly, who are medically fragile, you don't want any type of infection. So infection control is always very important. This coronavirus, it's even more so. So I think many of them have really heeded the call. I think they followed the regulations that we put in very early that are very tough. And I think the staff has done the PPE, which we're requiring, which you really normally wouldn't do under normal circumstances. So that is something. And then what we're going to be able to do is we're going to continue to identify additional cases there because we're focusing additional testing resources on those facilities. They're doing it down in Miami with the Guard. UF Shands is doing it in Northeast Florida. And as this Abbott test, as we get more and more cartridges, that obviously is going to be a priority to do some surveillance testing. If you're testing areas where you don't necessarily have an outbreak identified, you can try to see if you start to see a case here or there. And then if you do identify something, particularly with a staff member, then that staff member can be isolated, and then the rest of the people can be tested, and you can hopefully contain it. The staff, though, if you're sick, you should not be going to work at these facilities right now. It's just, you should never do that. But now it's just irresponsible to do. And there have been examples of some of the staff members going into these facilities, and not all just like the caretakers, people that are in service and other parts of it, and that is something that's problematic.
One last question. Fines or benchmarks are you looking at?
Well, we're looking at it on an hour-by-hour basis, and so we will just follow it, watch the trends, and then make decisions accordingly. I'm in contact with the White House on a daily basis. We're obviously in contact with our Department of Health officials here. We also talk to different officials in different communities, because I think that different communities are dealing with this. I think the problem is different in different parts of the state right now. So we're looking at all that, but I think the main thing is I think if Floridians just continue doing what they're doing, I mean, you know, look at our senior citizens. I think they've done a great job. I mean, very early, it was pretty obvious that this was a virus that had a disproportionate impact on our seniors and people with chronic illnesses. And we said, stay away from crowds, stay home as much as you can, be careful out there. And I think that they've really responded well. So if people just keep doing that, I think that we'll go in a good direction. Of course, I give the update every day on the hospitalizations. That is really the flattening the curve. When that was put into vogue last month, the theory behind it, or the purpose of it, was when you have an infectious disease, if it expands too rapidly, it could overwhelm the healthcare system and your healthcare resources. And so we obviously wanted to do things in Florida to prevent that from happening. Clearly, I think if you look throughout the state, we have a lot of capacity in our hospitals. Even in Southeast Florida, where you've had the most cases by far, you have capacity there. We also have made arrangements to have additional capacity if needed. And, you know, I've always said, I hope we don't need any of that. You plan for the worst and hope for the best, and that's what we're doing here. But I want to again thank Secretary Tebow and his team for, they didn't have a lot of notice on this. As soon as we kind of went into this period in March, I said, you know, we got to get some of this stuff done. They had a whole bunch of great stuff, $2.2 billion. I asked about I-4. It wasn't as simple as just them doing it because of the partnership, but they worked diligently on it and are going to be able to deliver results. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida speaking from the state capitol in Tallahassee a short time ago. Stay tuned to RadioSt. Pete.com for continuing coverage of the coronavirus crisis.